Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Creatively Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Luana Helena. Thank you for listening to episode 136, brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners two free audiobooks with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/creativelyspeaking and browse their unmatched selection of audio programs. Download your titles free and start listening. It's that easy. Just go to audibletrial.com/creativelyspeaking. And today's guest is no stranger to Creatively Speaking. This is the third time we are hosting Jamel Crothers. He is a poet, prose author, blogger, and podcaster who writes prose books on social issues, all of which I have read to date, just a note there, and thoroughly enjoyed reading. Throughout his four-year journey, Jamel has tackled a plethora of issues going on in the world today, from the state of America to men's issues and many other topics. His goal and moniker is the same. It's to change the world one book at a time. To learn more about Jamel Crothers and his work, please visit Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Apple, Kobo, Scribd, and Google Play. You can find his work on all these major platforms. And of course, to learn more, stay here with us at Creatively Speaking as we get right into today's interview. So if you're just joining us, just settling in, once again, welcome. Thank you for listening. I'm Luana Helena, host of Creatively Speaking. And today our guest is Jamel Crothers, author of many books, but the one we'll be focusing on today is his series, Kids with Guns. And if we get some time, we'll take a look at some other series that are proving to be really relevant in the time we're in. So Kids with Guns is our focus. It's a 5-part series. He also has Code Blue, which deals with the topic of policing in America, which everyone is talking about for obvious reasons, and then also a single book titled I Woke Up a Black Man, also super relevant in this particular time. So hopefully we can get to all the topics today, but as I mentioned, our focus is his newest series. The last part of it, part 5, was released just 2 weeks ago on June 5th, and it is Kids with Guns. So welcome to Creatively Speaking. Welcome back, I should say, Jamel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me for the third time.
Yes, always a pleasure. Good to have you back. And there's always something new and exciting to discuss with you. But just for the benefit of our listeners who may have missed one or two of your previous visits here, can you get us all on the same page and tell us what is it that you create, Jamel, and how long have you been creating?
My creation is more of writing various books on, social issues that are affecting, the world around us. I record a lot of podcasts that talk about a lot of things going on in the world. It's just different, ideas that come my way, and I see if I can materialize it into either a standalone book or I turn it into a series, which seems like the thing that I love to do in these day and age.
Wow. So definitely you create content. It may take the form of books, which is the majority of your content, but also podcasts, like you mentioned, the Aquarian Mind podcast, which I also listen to when I get a window to do a 30-minute walk on a treadmill. I can usually crunch two or three in there. They're very brief, succinct, to the point, and you just move on to the next topic after that. So that's another avenue through which you can engage with Jamel's content. Again, that's the Aquarian Mind podcast, which covers similar topics in his book as well. So he is definitely a very prolific creator of content in book form, podcasts, blogs, and, you know, probably in the future may take on different formats or media. But, mm-hmm. yes, we can see a lot of your work, as I was mentioning in the beginning, a lot of your work is becoming very, I mean, it was always relevant, but it is even more so because of everything that's going on in our, you know, current dispensation here in America mm-hmm. and around the world. So when you do create a, we can say, let's focus on Kids with Guns, because that's your newly released series. What was your creative process like for that? Or in general, if you want to share with us, what is your creative process like when you're working on any content?
Well, with the Kids with Guns series, honestly, when you see a school shooting that happens, you see a report on the news, and they report to you what they want to report to you, and uh-huh. it's the tragic aspect of it, but you're not getting the point of view from different people. So you're uh-huh. not getting, you're not hearing the perspective of, let's say, a survivor, like a student or a teacher or the principal of the school, or you're not getting the perspective of an FBI agent or a police officer or police detective that's investigating the case, or the people that uh-huh. were shot and they get rushed to the hospital. You're not hearing what's going on in their minds, like the nurses, the doctors, the surgeons.
Yeah.
You're not getting the aspect of the news reporter before they go on air on what's actually going on in the climate of, you know, panic and, you know, everything that's going on at that uh-huh. exact moment. So I wanted to write a series where you're getting different perspectives from different people and what they're feeling and what they're experiencing and what they're going through, in order to bring uh-huh. the story out even more, and it goes deeper beyond than what they're broadcasting to you on the news or what you're reading on the internet or whatever the case is. So that was uh-huh. the direction that I wanted to go in creating, you know, that series. And I knew that when I started the process of creating this series, I knew it was going to be 5 books already. I knew the direction I was going uh-huh. in. I just knew I had to compartmentalize each book to where, you know, you're still engaged, but you're wondering what's going to happen next.
Wow. So this one, it's interesting that you said you knew it was going to be a series, because very often I hear writers say, oh, I just wrote my one book, and then either fans ask for more information or the writer realized kind of, hey, there's more to this story. But to be able to start out with the mindset that this is a series and not, you know, give away too much in that first book and then have the others drag a bit, but to know how to equally divide it and keep the engagement going. Because as I mentioned, I've read, I think, practically everything you've written or at least published.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have written works not published yet. So I've definitely read everything you've published. And, yeah, I know I was looking forward to that next one and that next one, you know, when it came to the Kids with Guns series, because I as a reader did not know how it was going to turn out. You know, you kind of see, as you mentioned, on TV, one perspective, and then the shooters get tucked away, you know, with some life sentence or something. You don't even remember once the trial is over what their sentence was. And then you kind of move on with life and you assume they're still sitting in a prison somewhere. You have no idea. And then you don't get to hear. You may hear in the first weeks, maybe a victim's family, you know, they took my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, if it was
right.
a teacher and so on. And then they kind of drift away. Once the cameras go, you know, you forget about the story. But yeah, to be able to see the inner workings of the minds of everyone involved, and then also learn that, you know, more people are affected than we really see on TV. So it just kind of, especially when the shooters began to speak, you know, and their thoughts were being expressed through your writing, it was really interesting to see what makes somebody do that. We usually get that blanket, oh, they were bullied, they couldn't take it anymore, they went and they shot up the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I finally Watched Joker yesterday. I know it's like late, but I finally sat down and spent the whole 2 hours to watch Joker yesterday. And then I'm like, wow, this looks like the typical, you know, story that we get after a school shooting. They were bullied. They were bullied. Couldn't take it anymore. Shoot everybody on the train kind of thing. So it was, it really is a unique perspective that you take, or very many unique perspectives that you take, showing us that background, you know, to everything going on. And in total right now, how many books have you published that are out there for people to purchase?
I've published 25 so far.
25. Wow.
25.
And in all, in all your writing, in these 4.5, almost 5 years, I guess, of writing and publishing these 25 books, can you share with us like a favorite story or something that has happened to you in this time, whether it's funny, interesting, weird, inspiring? Like, what's something that stands out in all this time that you'd like to share with us?
Let me see. I mean, I have a few stories, but honestly, the creative process of like a lot of these books, it's just interesting, like how like these ideas come to me. You know, it can, my ideas come to me either, I'm either, you know, seeing the world for what it is, or it can be me sitting eating dinner and all of a sudden a book idea comes to me. It can be 1 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep. But I will say the biggest aspect of me writing, every book that I've written, has a music element to it. What I mean by that is I listen to music to write all of my books. I can't sit in silence. I can't, you know, it's not something that I do. So I always listen to music. That is the thing. I listen to certain music. I have to get myself into a zone. And when I get myself into a zone, that's when I'm able to just, like, pretty much go and write and kind of go with that. And then... let's see. Other stories are is like getting the feedback from like people, like when they read my books. You know, a lot of people they get emotional reading my stuff. So like when I hear that, that is more fulfilling to me than anything else that I've done, pretty much. So I think that is, you know, like another great, you know, story to add to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Wow. And I have some feedback for you, speaking of feedback. It was interesting to me that as you, as I read the Kids with Guns series, there was a repetitive mention of crisis actors that came up, you know, and then they kind of got my attention because I've never really paid attention so much to, you know, looking at facial expressions of people as they interviewed them about, you know, losing their best friend just hours ago and, you know, that kind of thing. And last night, I think, I think it was yesterday, I happened to be watching the news, and then somebody came up in an interview that completely, like, fit the bill, the way you described crisis actors in the Kids with Guns series. I don't want to give too much away. I'll give you a chance to give us a synopsis in a bit. But it was just interesting to me because right away, as soon as I saw her being interviewed, like, that term just came into my head. Oh, my gosh, that's one of those crisis actors. Because she was supposedly a witness in the Rayshard shooting that happened over in Atlanta. And it was just, like, a really, really emotional voice. And, you know, I'm like sitting there like, squinting at the TV, no tears, you know, and then it's just like I ran out of my car and I came and Rayshard was just lying on the ground. And I'm like, she doesn't know him. She's calling him by his first name, you know, so then it just kind of clicked with me. And I had finished reading your series a while back, like the end of May, and it came right back to me. So when you put down Jamel's series and you're like, oh, okay, good series, well written, you put your review up on Amazon and you put it away, it stays with you. Parts of it definitely stay with you because there's so much truth in the fiction, you know, with fictional characters, but there's so much underlying truth that you end up seeing in real life. Like, you know, this is a whole new crisis going on, but then you still see so many of the roles being played in a completely, you know, unrelated event. But that's my feedback. You can add that to
well,
yours. Go ahead.
I want to take the time to applaud you for paying attention to certain characters in the book when you were reading it, because I write certain characters a certain way intentionally to see if you're paying attention. So that goes to show that you were paying attention to what Lena was saying, the student that survived the shooting.
Right.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Because I did that intentionally.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I guess I was.
To see if you're paying attention.
You
paid attention
right,
to the three characters that are huge components to this series: Lena, Brittany, and Mark. Those are the three characters. So you paid attention. You paid attention to those three characters more than everyone else, which is fine. You know. But you know you're reading every character and you're immersing yourself in them. But you focused on those characters that I wanted you to focus on.
Wow,
that
is interesting, because I would think, like, if you asked me main character, I would say, oh, the shooters, you know, Matthew and Max were their names, I believe?
They're not. But
no?
They're not. Yeah, Matthew and Max, yeah. They're not. They're really not. They're not. I mean, they're the character. They're the main characters, and they went into school and shot, you know, school. So when you see the synopsis of it, you know, of part one, you're thinking, oh, my God. And then, you know, if you just choose to, you know, click into it and read into the book, you're expecting to hear from Matthew and Max, most school shooters, in the beginning of all of this, when all of this started happening. Do you remember Columbine in Colorado, in Aurora, Colorado? Those kids, they shot and killed themselves. So a lot of kids were killing themselves. In this series, I was like, oh, no, you're going to hear from these characters. But in part one, you think you're going to hear from Matthew and Max, but you don't.
Not yet.
You hear other people's perspectives, and then you hear from them later. So I want you to get engulfed into other characters before you hear about Matthew and Max. So,
oh, wow.
But, yeah.
Definitely very skillfully put together.
Intentionally done.
Yes, a lot
done.
Of purpose. goes into your writing, because I would definitely could remember, oh, Matthew Max, those are the shooters. Until you mentioned her name, I didn't even remember it was Lena who revealed the crisis actors. I just remembered the term crisis actors, and then it popped into my head yesterday when I believe I was actually looking at one, you know, in Atlanta. So, definitely a lot of subliminal messages if you really focus in and get, you know, the content really into your mind, like think about it as opposed to just, you know, skim it. And I do want to take this time to give you a little more time to tell us about the series. You started mentioning some characters, but for someone who has not picked up Kids with Guns at all, can you take some time to just tell them what to expect? You know, I don't think I ever have to tell a writer, no spoilers. You guys know how to just give us enough. So if someone is interested in the Kids with Guns series, what could they look forward to? What is it about?
Okay, so the Kids with Guns series, it's pretty much about the main characters, two of the many main characters, Matthew and Max. They go into their school and commit, you know, the most heinous act you can think of, which is a school shooting. After the school shooting, you're going to meet various characters throughout the series, which will consist of students who have survived the shooting, a teacher in part one. The students and teacher is pretty much throughout the series, and you'll meet police officers, people in the task force, detectives, FBI agents. So you're going to hear different perspectives from different characters. As the series progresses, you will start to meet new characters in the series, which will be Matthew and Max's parents, which is mother and father for each of them. You will meet the their defense attorney. You'll meet the prosecutor, part three, when you move into the trial. the defense attorney and the prosecutor, they will be speaking from their perspectives for the trial. But then along with that, you'll be meeting Alyssa, who is the judge. You'll meet the head juror of the case. So you're going to start, you know, really hearing different perspectives of a school shooting from when it happens to after it happens to the trial to after the trial to how the community comes together and, mm-hmm. you know, tries to get through it. But then in the midst of all that, you're going to be hearing about the gun control issue, the big gun control issue that goes that's going on in America. But then, like mm-hmm. you said, there are a lot of subliminal messages that are hidden in what's going on in school shootings. And
right.
Because of the way the news reports things to you, the way the news does it is they use three things. They report the problem,
mm-hmm.
they get the reaction, and then then the government wants to provide you a solution. What it's called is the Hegelian dialect. That's what it's mm-hmm. called. It's problem, reaction, solution. That's going on in America mm-hmm. right now with a lot of things also. So with the Kids with Gun series, that's the direction that I went in. And
mm-hmm.
you will know of these characters from the get-go. Like when you first open the book, you'll see all the characters' names and you'll see what role that they're playing in the series. So that's pretty mm-hmm. much, you know, the nuts and bolts of the series.
Right.
And as you go along, you'll start to, you know, see how everything goes.
Wow. Yeah, and I will do my best not to spill the beans here, but I could definitely say it's not predictable. I can say that. You know, if you think you know how school shootings work and you've seen it on TV, you know, this is a
mm-hmm.
look from all angles and, for me at least, a completely unexpected ending. So I'll leave it at that. And we do have a little more time. So I do want to look at some of your other work. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, so much of what you write is so relevant to, you know, what's going on now. And we know there are some books out there like, you know, Bakari Sellers or My Disappearing Country. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of people are talking about how to be an anti-racist. And I think the same writer,
yep.
Ibram
yeah,
X. Kendi,
yeah,
he
yeah.
also
Ibram Kendi, yeah. He's,
yeah.
He's been on the news like a lot lately. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I feel like you are in this category of writers who had the aforethought, because I can see some people probably scrambling now. Oh, Black Lives Matter issues are hot. Let me pump out a book on it and, you know, try to make it a bestseller.
Right.
But
right.
it's like you wrote books like this. I Woke Up a Black Man was written and released a while back. And then your whole series, another series, Code Blue, all five parts were written
mm-hmm.
and released again before any of these issues came up to the surface and, you know, caused
mm-hmm.
all the attention that they're getting right now. So can you do the same thing for us that you did with Kids with Guns? Just give us a little insight into those books, you know, why you wrote them, what can we expect from them? Why are they so, you know, relevant to what's going on right now? The I Woke Up a Black Man book, as well as the Code Blue series.
Okay. So, I Woke Up a Black Man, that's a standalone book. With that book, I honestly had no intentions on writing that book for quite a while. That was kind of
mm-hmm.
going to be a book that was going to be pushed back for a while because I was focused on so many other projects. My best friend Eden, she lives out in California. We, you know, we're talking, you know, about issues going on in America, and I
mm-hmm.
kind of mentioned the book idea. And we kind of discussed things, and you know, she told me, she's like, you know, it's gonna be it's relevant to what's going on right now. So you know, it
mm-hmm.
would be good if you, you know, took that opportunity to like really go and write that book. You know, I showed her all the chapter mm-hmm. layout, everything like that. So
mm-hmm.
in a nutshell, I Woke Up a Black Man is about a white man named Eric who one morning wakes up and he is a black man. The
mm-hmm.
only thing is that his life does not stop. He has to go to work. He has to live his life. And
mm-hmm.
he goes out into the world and starts to understand and experience what life is like as a black man. And he finally realizes and understands all of the stories that his black friend Warren tells him. And
mm-hmm.
he starts to realize that he's privileged in a lot of ways, and that a lot of issues that affect black men in America don't affect him. And by the end of the story, he realizes that he has to start making changes. I Woke Up a Black Man is a very controversial book. It has a lot of graphic and vulgar language. I will warn you guys ahead of time. Some of the things that I do write about are experiences that I've been through, experiences that friends have been through, and things that I've seen go on in the world. So that's for that book. The Cold Blue and Oath to the Badge and Gun, that is a 5-book series. It is about a police officer named Gary. He is a good cop, has been on the force for 5 years, but as he starts coming to work, he starts seeing a lot of wrongful things that are going on, which is police brutality, killings of young black men, and a whole lot of other racial issues that are going on. Him being the good cop, he's going throughout this series trying to decide whether he's going to report his superiors and his coworkers or not. And toward the end of the series, I'll say that he kind of goes through finding himself and, you know, regaining his sanity by, you know, finally reporting everything. But it tackles a lot of various things that are going on in America currently. You know, it applies to the Black Lives Matter movement. It, you know, applies to the killings of unarmed black men, you know, a lot of different things. So it's definitely a series that when you start reading it, you start to understand, like, you know, how a lot of police officers are caught in trying to maintain their jobs, but also maintain their families and trying to make a living and, you know, you know, sticking to the brotherhood, as they say, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a series that applies to right now.
Yes, I definitely agree. And we keep hearing that the remedy for, you know, rooting out bad cops or bad apples, like they call them, is the good cops. So the character Gary is definitely one of those people that everybody keeps calling on to speak up and do something and say something. But then on the other side, we see that when these cops step in, they end up getting fired or reassigned or, you know, so it is a real battle going on even with this fictional character.
Or they get ostracized for reporting, you know, their superiors or their coworkers, and their lives are like forever changed. So that's something that I do tackle in the series also. Well, yeah, you know that because you've, you know, read it, but I tackle that also, you know, and the fact that, you know, Gary, unfortunately, you know, once he reports all that, he knows that he has to go. Time for him to find something else to do himself, and, you know, that's how things go.
Right. So true. It's not as easy as people make it sound. Like, well, if you're a good cop, just stand up and tell us what's going on with the bad cops, and then what happens to you after the fact, you know, is not really discussed. That it is fleshed out and really shown, you know, the difficulty of this choice is really described in this series. So lots of great series from Jamel. We only talked about two. He has quite a few other 5-book series and then single novel books, I should say, like I Woke Up a Black Man is the other one that he discussed. So what would you like readers to take away from your series or your books, whether it's the reader they or, you know, the ones that you are still writing for the future or already have out of the 25 that are already published and there's so many more to come, what would be ideally the greatest for someone?
I think the greatest takeaway I would want is, you know, for people to understand that there are a lot of social issues that are going on in the world and we need to do our part in trying to make this world a better place. We have to keep our eyes and ears open to just everything. We have to look deeper into issues and not react to things right away. And, you know, just like think about what's really what's going on in the world. I mean, that's the biggest goal for me, is to get you to, you know, immerse yourself in these characters, but then also understand that we have to think about ways on making this world a better place.
Yes, definitely a great takeaway, something to walk away with from your book or your series, your books or your series. And I can attest that I know when I set the book down, Kindle, whatever format I'm reading, then it kind of, it stays with me. Like the example I gave you about the current shooting, that, you know, I was still able to pull information back from what I had read about a month or so ago. And yeah, it definitely continues to make me think, you know, every time something pops up, whether it's on television or in the news, and it sounds even vaguely familiar to something I've read in your books or heard on your podcast, then there's always that hold on, you know, second thought that comes with it. So yes, if just deeper thought or, you know, just a little more focus, I guess, is one of the takeaways that somebody gets from your book. It is a lot to gain from the experience. And also, what advice would you have for someone who is trying to be successful on any level in this field of writing that you do? What advice would you give to someone?
The best advice I would give is definitely write what you know, what you're passionate about. Don't necessarily go with what's hot and trendy right now. Trends change.
Mm-hmm.
The book industry changes constantly. One minute, you know, it's the romance. The next, it's women's fiction. The next is social issues. Like right now, all social issues right now are hot and trendy. You know, Ingram Kendi, Michelle Alexander, Eric Michael Dyson. You know, everybody's looking for their books and the Hesse coats, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, right now that's trending, and that's probably going to trend for probably the rest of the year. And then next year it'll be women's fiction or whatever the case is. So definitely do what you're passionate about, for sure. Definitely, you know, network, do what you can. You know, you can contact me, you know, through my website, which is aquariummindwrites.com. There's a contact form. I'm always willing to help and give advice, to people and, you know, what they're trying to do with themselves. And, definitely don't give up. Stick with what you want to do with your life, because we only get one chance to really do what we want to do. So that's the best advice.
Yes, that is great advice. Definitely great advice, especially fighting that temptation to follow trends. You know, I mean, just a current example, not too long ago, maybe a few years ago, it was all Harry Potter and, you know, young adult fiction, Twilight, everything. And then, I mean, J.K. Rowling says one wrong thing and completely, you know, is ostracized. And people are moving on to different, more serious and real life matters. And we've just left the realm of fiction and fun, you know. So it is up to you as a writer to say, hey, this is what I'm passionate about. I don't care what else is going on, as far as what people are willing to spend their money on, but this is my passion and my area of interest. And eventually, yeah, it might fall into a category where people are seeking out your work, and, you know, it may not, but definitely good advice to be true to who you are as a writer. And thank you also for sharing your website and your availability. If people do have questions and, you know, would like to talk to someone who has been able to kind of navigate through this writing world and publishing and everything else that you've done. And I also would like to ask if you have any new projects or upcoming projects that we can look forward to on your website, which listeners is aquariummindwrites.com. When you do have new projects, we'll definitely check them out there. But are there any projects you'd like to share with us?
Yes. So there are two more books I'm publishing this year. In September, there will be a new book. It's called A Man Who Lost His Soul. That will be a story about Joseph and him dealing with domestic violence, but he's not the one, you know, he's not the one being the abuser. He's the one being abused. So tackling domestic. Yeah, I'm tackling domestic violence from a man's perspective. You know, that was a really really good project for me to work on. December, there will be a book called Living Life to the Fullest. It's about two characters who find out that they're going to die, and they go through great lengths to make sure that their last days are fruitful and grateful, and it's a very interesting standalone book that I wrote. It randomly came to my mind. I brainstormed that literally in a half an hour, and I wrote that book in like 3 days, literally. That was like the fastest book I've ever written. Yeah. So that's that project. And then next year I'm working on the Private Investigator series. That is a continuation of the Code Blue series with Gary. You'll definitely be intrigued by that series for sure. I know that for sure. But I would suggest that you guys read the Code Blue series
first
before you read the Private Investigator series. You gotta get the background of Gary a little bit before you jump into Private Investigator series. I'm currently working on right now. Yeah.
So much to look forward to. The Man Who Lost His Soul, he said in September, is coming out, and that is a unique perspective. Definitely, as soon as we hear domestic violence, we're like wife beater, you know. But it is, there is another side to it. And then men, for various reasons, don't always report and speak out. It's, you know, humiliating, I'm sure, for many men, and it's embarrassing. So that will be September, The Man Who Lost His Soul, then Living Life to the Fullest in December, and the Private Investigator 5-book series will start in February, which gives you a lot of time to read Code Blue, which is also a 5-book series, which is that prequel, I guess, to this Private Investigator series. So when all these books are released and ready to go, is your website the best place to connect, figure out, you know, what's going on, what's the best place to find them, and, you know, keep up with everything that you're doing?
Website, I would say yes. Amazon, I think, is the best place. Amazon, if you, you know, click that follow button on Amazon, you know, Amazon lets you know when new books are about to release or when my books are being put on pre-order. So Amazon's a good place. And, you know, I, you know, try to keep the blogs going with what's happening and, you know, what I'm working on, things like that. So those are definitely two places you can find me.
Okay, cool. So AquarianMindWrite.com is Jamel's website, and then all his books are also available on the many outlets that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, but especially Amazon. And we have the link to Amazon live here and clickable on Blog Talk Radio and on our Facebook events for the day. But I will also go back once we're off air and add AquarianMindWrites.com, which would be the first stop before going out and looking into the other outlets as well. So I believe that is all our time for today. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing and parting before we wrap up for today? Any final words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom. Follow your goals. Go accomplish them. Don't let the world bring you down right now. A lot's going on, but, you know, stay level-headed and stay focused on what you're trying to do with your life.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And from everything that you've created over the past almost 5 years, we can see that you definitely have followed your own advice, and we hope our listeners take heed as well. I definitely appreciate that advice. I do have goals. I need to keep working on myself. So thank you so much for that motivation. And that is all our time for today. Thank you again to our guest, Jamel Crothers. It has been a pleasure, as always, creatively speaking with you, Jamel. Thanks so much for joining us. And of
thank
course,
you for having me.
Yes, always a pleasure. And, of course, thanks to you, our Creatively Speaking audience, for listening. And remember, listeners of Creatively Speaking Radio, Audible is offering you 2 free audiobooks with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/creativelyspeaking and browse their unmatched selection of audio programs, download your titles free, and start listening. It's that easy. Again, audibletrial.com/creativelyspeaking is that website you want to go to. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next Saturday, June 27th, 9 a.m. Pacific time, for what will be our season finale and last show in quite some time, probably till 2021. So don't miss that one. We'll be featuring Joe Van Ryn. And as always, I pray you all have a very, very creative day. Bye.